KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's clear and 42 degrees. We look forward to be mostly sunny today, a high of 73. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. In local news, the Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening passed three resolutions dealing with a Vision Iowa grant, Ash Street Extension infrastructure improvements, and a loan agreement providing for the issuance of $4.66 million in general obligation, corporate purpose, and refunding bonds, Series 2016, providing for the levy of taxes to pay for the bonds, and approving an escrow agreement for the investment of bond proceeds. City Administrator John Lund said the city's Parks and Rec Board was notified by the state that the city could not spend money on the playground or ADA-accessible fishing pier for the Schildberg Recreation Area. Accordingly, the city and county needed to amend their resolutions committing matching funds for the Vision Iowa grant. The city's portion of the matching funds amounted to $100,000. The county did its part last Friday. The Atlantic Parks and Rec Director, Assistant Director, that is, Seth Stashelm, said the grant application was submitted on time to Vision Iowa, and they have a presentation scheduled before the board to explain the project next Wednesday. And Snyder & Associates engineer Dave Sturm spoke about the Ash Street Extension resolution.
This is that small street extension we did with Boost Building Construction on Ash Street, which would be just south 14th Street on the south side of Mission Hills Golf Course. Project was pretty much completed last fall with the water and the street extension. They have since sealed up the street, and we have approved the project. So now, in order for the city to take it over and maintain it, we ask that the city adopt a resolution that basically accepts the improvement since it was done with private money. So basically a formality, so it now will become a city street.
The completed project involved the use of tax increment financing for the Nishna Hills Addition, a private subdivision development. And Chip Schultz, Senior Vice President of Public Finance with UMB Bank, spoke with regard to the council passing a resolution for the bond issuance.
This is the last action step from the City Council standpoint on the City's 2016 bond issue. It simply formalizes the rates and terms and so forth that that we've talked about at the prior meetings. So next step really is for we'll deliver funds to the City on May 19th, and then that'll establish the escrow for calling in and refunding the Series 2011 bonds that are due in 2019 through 2026.
It also funds the so-called new money projects, such as those involving library, street, and stormwater improvements, along with police and fire equipment. The city is taking advantage of historically low interest rates and borrowing now to pay off a higher interest loan in 2019. The move should save the city about $80,000 in interest, according to Schultz. In other business, the Atlantic City Council Wednesday set May the 18th as a date for a public hearing on an amendment to the fiscal year 2016 budget. John Lund says in March of last year, the council approved a budget for management of the cash the city received and spends for the period of July 1st of 2015 through June 30th, 2016. The city, he said, needs to reconcile any changes made where they stepped outside the budget boundaries and must do so during the month of May in order to comply with state law. The council also approved the appointment of Judd Manili to the Atlantic Municipal Utilities Board. He succeeds Larry Turner, who has retired from the board. They also approved an order for a parade permit in advance of the May 21st Bada Bada Bing Bang military vehicle rally. A 40-year-old Council Bluffs man accused of trying to kill his estranged wife has been in prison. David McKee was given 25 years at his sentencing hearing held Tuesday. McKee had pleaded guilty to a burglary charge after prosecutors dropped charges of attempted murder and other crimes. Police say McKee, a year ago, broke into a home where his estranged wife and another woman were living. The wife told officers at the time that he threatened to kill both of them and grabbed her by the throat. She stabbed him with a knife she was holding, and the other woman struck him with a weight. McKee was hospitalized. Two people were arrested Tuesday in Creston. Creston police reported yesterday 36-year-old Ryan Reinhardt of Creston was arrested a little after 11 p.m. for driving while suspended. He was later released on $300 bond. And at around 7 p.m. Tuesday, Creston police arrested 51-year-old Martin Felician of Mount Air for OWI first offense. He was being held in the Union County Jail on $1,000 bond and on a warrant out of Bates County, Missouri. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources is reporting that a 25-year-old fish has been found living in West Okoboji Lake. Jonathan Mirbeek, a DNR fisheries research biologist, says the male muskie was marked with a freeze brand and stocked in the Iowa Great Lakes in 1993. It was caught during the gill netting season last week.
21, I think, was our oldest fish that we've captured in the past. So this one beats it by, you know, a few years. So, yeah, this is probably one of the oldest fish of known age that has been recaptured in terms of muskies, so it's a pretty unique fish.
The last time this particular fish was caught by the DNR was in 2006. According to Mabrique, after age 4, muskies have an annual mortality rate of around 25%.
And that's not from angling mortality per se. That's just because fish generally, the fish die. Everything dies at some point. Muskies get old or they get sick. You know, this one just happened to avoid all those potential harms over time and actually made it to a fairly substantial age, considering most fish.
The 25-year-old muskie was documented and released back into the lake. The 17.5-pound fish was 41.6 inches in length. Officials say about 15,000 gallons of untreated wastewater has reached one of Iowa's Great Lakes. The DNR said the wastewater was discovered Wednesday morning in a lagoon on West Okoboji Lake following an electrical failure at the Spirit Lake pumping station. The Great Lakes Sanitary Sewer District has stopped the discharge, but some wastewater overflowed through two manhole lids. The wastewater reached Lazy Lagoon on the northwest shore of the lake. The district was placing lime on the affected areas to neutralize the acidity of the water. The DNR recommends that anglers, children, and pets avoid the limed grassy areas for about 24 hours or so. The Iowa legislature adjourned this year's session without taking much action on improving the state's water quality. And now an Iowa City-based research organization has released a report suggesting the state follow changes made in Ohio. David Osterberg with the Iowa Policy Project claims there are several problems with Iowa's current laws dealing with large livestock operations and manure reaching lakes and rivers.
First of all, the limits. For some reason, we set our limits at 500 animal units, which is very, very large. Ohio has recognized, as most states have, that you need to go down to facilities much smaller than that.
Ohio's limit is 300 animal units. Senator Joe Bolcom, a Democrat from Iowa City, introduced a bill this year that would have copied Ohio's regulations here in Iowa, but it was never brought up for consideration. Osterberg is hoping this IPP research will reach all Iowa legislators before next year's session.
We do a study like this. We find out what the evidence is out there, in this case from other states, and ask the question, why can't we do that in Iowa? And hopefully we'll move towards a discussion so that if Senator Bolcom files his bill again, it will get a hearing.
You can check out the full report at iowapolicyproject.org. And the city council in Mason City has rejected an agreement with the company to build a $240 million pork processing plant there. The agreement failed on a 3-3 vote Wednesday after the council met for 7 hours. Councilman Bill Schickel says he struggled with his vote against the Prestige Foods plan, but finally decided there wasn't enough community acceptance for the agreement to work. Prestige Foods officials said the nearly $240 million pork processing plant in southwest Mason City would hire nearly 1,800 people in two phases. Officials said the plant would have a buffer zone and the company would make payments to the local school district. Residents who oppose the plant have raised environmental issues related to wastewater and odor and expressed concern about a possible harm to property values. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.